Hi, it's Bob from Royal Spa. Soaking in a hot tub full of Epsom salts is the absolute best way to minimize everyday aches and pains. And we know all about Epsom salts at Royal Spa. Royal Spa hot tubs are the only hot tubs on the market that can safely and effectively use Epsom salts. Made right here in Indiana, Royal Spa hot tubs are the highest quality hot tubs on the market. Visit any one of our three Indianapolis locations or visit royalspa.com.
Ah, Royal Spa.
Hammer and Nigel.
Can you believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock it!
My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer right over there. I mean, really, every parent's worst nightmare happened today. School shooting in Nashville, Tennessee. 7 dead, including the shooter. 3 kids, 3 faculty members. The 28-year-old female shooter got in through a side door, worked her way upstairs, and then opened fire in the lobby up there. Don't have a lot of other information, Hammer. I'm not sure. I haven't heard if the school actually had a school resource officer, but I do understand Nashville police responding very quickly. We've got to fortify these schools. We got to make sure there is no way people can get in. I mean, that's very reminiscent of Uvalde. Somebody got in through a side door, and that's how they were able to start shooting. So that's the latest. Of course, we'll have updates at the top and bottom of every hour.
They had a press conference in Nashville not too long ago. This was the leader of the police department speaking to the press.
We know at this point that this shooter is a female. She appears to be in her teens, although her identification has not been confirmed at this juncture. We know that she was armed with at least 2 assault-type rifles and a handgun. We are efforting now to identify her. She entered the school through a side entrance and traversed her way from the first floor to the second floor.
28-year-old female.
Yeah, 28-year-old female. That's really unusual, too.
It is.
Sort of circumstances.
And Joe Biden, the president of the United States, was supposed to make remarks on this tragedy in Nashville. And all of the news networks, from CNN to Fox, MSNBC, everybody, they had dedicated cameras at this event.
We were watching it in here. It was very bizarre because it was like a women's business social or something like that.
But right. And there were kids in the crowd.
Yeah.
So the event itself wasn't designed to be some sort of flame-throwing policy type of event. But we were told from officials at the White House that he was going to be making remarks on the tragedy in Nashville. And this is how he opened up his press conference.
My name is Joe Biden. I'm Dr. Joe Biden's husband. And I ate Jenny's ice cream, chocolate chip. I came down because I heard there was chocolate chip ice cream. By the way, I have a whole refrigerator full upstairs. I think I'm kidding.
It was very bizarre. Kind of started yucking it up with the crowd. And then he did, I was watching, he did get subdued and went on to talk about the shooting and, of course, talking about Congress needs to pass more gun legislation. That was strange to me. That was
very strange. But again, anytime there's a shooting, you get Joe Biden talking about it right away. But whenever there's another major crisis going on, whether it's what happened in East Palestine, you get crickets. You get absolutely nothing from the Biden administration. So now the spin machine is already in motion, right? The political left in this country, they view no tragedy goes without notice. So here comes the conversations, because this happened at a Christian school, a private school. Here come the arguments that private schools are no better than public schools, so we can shut down school choice now. It's a Christian school, so it made her some sort of religious freak. It's the guns' fault, because guns are so easy to get these days. It's everybody's fault except for the shooter right now.
Yeah, KJP, the Karine Jean-Pierre, president's White House press secretary, blamed Republicans in a statement, essentially.
Sure.
I mean, mentioned Republicans and concerns about the Second Amendment. So we will have more on this, especially with the gun guy. Guy Relford, I'm sure, has some strong thoughts on this. And it's every parent's worst nightmare. They had cameras showing parents going to the meeting points where, reunification of parents and their kids. But there were three families, and ultimately actually six families, three kids gone and three faculty members gone, and their lives would change forever.
And the latest piece of information we're getting now is police believe the suspect, and again, we're not going to say her name, once attended the school. Now, she was 28 years old. This was an elementary school. But police in a new statement say they believe the suspect once attended that school.
And they do have her address as well, but that's all we know.
Another big story we're following here on a Monday is arrest watch as the grand jury has reconvened in Manhattan. Fat Alvin trying to indict Donald Trump for hush money payments to Stormy Daniels. They're claiming that by doing that, it violated campaign finance laws. This is a story that's been dragged out in the media. And Donald Trump's had a pretty big hand in that because last week, almost over a week ago, he said that on Tuesday of last week, that's when he was going to be arrested. Well, Tuesday came and went. No arrest, no indictment, no arraignment, none of that kind of stuff. And here we are in the same situation.
I wonder if Bill Clinton made anybody sign any NDAs. I mean, that's what this whole thing is, right? I mean, this is Donald Trump made Stormy Daniels, didn't make her, but suggested, yeah, hey, look, I'll give you $100,000 or what was it, $130,000, sign a non-disclosure agreement. I think Stormy Daniels had a bit of buyer's remorse there. I mean, $130,000 is nothing to Donald Trump. She should have asked for a whole hell of a lot more. And I think that's a little bit about, when this finally came out. And when did this come out? Before the 2016 election? Did Stormy Daniels come? Did that come out? So I think that's one of the aspects I find funny is that she got ripped off. And then her lawyer rips her off, that scumbag Avenatti. he's wearing $15,000 suits and she's up on some pole in Richmond, Indiana.
Abdul had a front row seat,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
He covered it from a journalistic standpoint for the Hammer and Nigel show.
That's right.
So Donald Trump, you would think, most people, if they feel like an indictment is coming, they'd be on pins and needles. They'd be frantically talking to their law team, trying to figure out ways to get out of it. Not Donald Trump. He does things a little differently.
Yeah.
He had a rally in Waco, Texas, this past Saturday. And here is Donald Trump at that rally talking about the district attorney, Alvin Bragg, targeting him in Manhattan.
Million pages we gave over to various groups, including Congress. The new weapon being used by out-of-control, unhinged Democrats to cheat on election is criminally investigating a candidate, bad publicity and all. You get bad publicity. It's the craziest thing. I got bad publicity and my poll numbers have gone through the roof. Would you explain this to me? Explain that to me, Dan, Mr. Congressman. You got to explain it to me because nobody else has ever heard of it. But you know what? It gets so much publicity that the case actually gets adjudicated in the press. And people see it's bullshit. And they go and they say, it's unfair.
I love when he drops a BS bomb.
A little casual swear word in there for the rally crowd.
At some point, he's going to drop an F-bomb.
Oh, it's going to happen.
If he gets indicted or something like that, he's going to have another rally. This is F and BS.
I mean, what's he got to lose at that point? Here's a little bit more from that rally if you didn't see it. Again, I think Newsmax was the only media outlet that covered this. Wasn't on Fox, wasn't on CNN, obviously.
Newsmax back on DirecTV, I heard, by the way.
Yes, that's true.
Another big story.
Here is the former president talking about he's the one that can defeat the deep state.
Either the deep state destroys America or we destroy the deep state. That's the way it's got to be. We're at a very pivotal point in our country.
And I think that's a message, if you listen to that crowd right there, that resonated, I think, the most with the crowd. Because I got to admit, I watched a little bit of it on Saturday. There wasn't a lot of juice in the crowd.
Well, I'll say this, too, and I know we're getting ready to play another clip or two. I didn't notice a lot of activity from the crowd when he was attacking DeSantis. Did you? Did you feel that way? Like, in terms of the crowd response, he started talking about DeSantis, and then he kind of went another direction, right?
And comes to me, tears in his eyes. He's at almost nothing in the polls. And he's fighting somebody that's at 42, and he's got almost $30 million in the bank. He's at almost nothing. He's got no cash. And I said, I can't give you an endorsement. There's no way you can win. You're dead.
Dead.
But he fought a little bit, like 150. He was certainly no Jim Jordan, that I can tell you. He fought a little bit, just a little bit, on impeachment hoax number one, impeachment hoax number two, meaning on television, because I didn't know him very well. But I saw him, so he came and he really wanted. I said, you can't win, can you? How do you can win? Sir, if you endorse me, I'll win. Please. Please, sir, endorse me. And I said, all right, let's give it a shot.
I mean, the crowd didn't seem too amped up by that at all. And my question for you is attacks on DeSantis, is, talking about Alvin Bragg, talking about, I think there was a horse face reference in there. Is that going to bring new Trump voters in? I'm not talking about the base. I'm not talking about the MAGAs that are no matter. Is that bringing new Trump voters to the table?
That's an interesting question. I don't know if it moved the needle or not, but again, the good news was that joint was packed. No other politician could pack a place like he does. Bad news was it didn't feel like there was a lot of juice. There wasn't a lot of energy.
I just like when he attacks DeSantis, it kind of comes off like he's scared of him a little bit.
You people disgust me.
Hammer and Nigel.
My name is Nigel. Hammer's right over there. Have you seen previews? Or I guess it's on Netflix now, that new... There's a new Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston movie on Netflix where they play spies or something like that. I think it's actually a sequel.
So is this like the murder mystery movie? Because
yes,
I know they did that.
Yes. I think it's Murder Mystery 2. But there's also been some talk lately of Jennifer Aniston, Drew Barrymore, and Adam Sandler doing a movie together.
In this movie, and Drew Barrymore bows down to Adam Sandler and says that he's a woman.
Yeah, exactly. But no, this might be similar on today's Drew Barrymore show. The three of them hit on a pretty, I think it's a perfect idea, remaking a classic TV sitcom. Here's a clip.
We did come up with a little bit of an idea the other day. It was based off a TV show.
Oh, Three's Company.
Yes!
Oh,
yeah!
Wow. That would be fun, man.
What do you think? Who would be Chrissy and who would be Janet? Because I'll be either. I want you to choose.
Yeah.
Who do you think you want to be more?
I couldn't do the short hair.
I'll do it.
You could do the short hair?
I love Janet. She's a real no-nonsense gal.
And Suzanne Summers.
Yeah.
And
physically
who,
speaking.
And then who do you play?
I'm going to...
Mr. Roper?
I'm not as good.
I think you'd play Jack Tripper, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, he'd
now,
be Jack Tripper.
Are you allowed in today's politically correct culture to have a straight man play a...
Straight man?
Straight man, but he plays a gay man in the movie. In Jack Tripper is supposed to be gay in Three's Company, right? Or he's acting gay... So
right.
Mr.
The landlord
Furley,
allows them to stay together.
Right.
Yes.
Is that allowed? Is that politically incorrect?
I think when you own your own movie company like Sandler does, you can do whatever the hell you want.
$1 billion.
Yeah.
You're tripping over a lot of Ottomans. I love this idea.
Dude, Three's Company was so good.
I know.
Like, so funny. And you're right. So many things that they did on that show that you would laugh at, people would get their panties in a wad about today. And you could always count on a few things every episode. Like, Mr. Roper or Furley, you can interact the landlords. Norman Fell or Don Knotts. They're always going to hear, like, Jack in the bathroom or something with one of the girls, you know.
Like in the kitchen or something. Shove it in harder.
Right. And they're putting something in the oven.
Yeah, right.
And their faces would be like flabbergasted at what they were hearing.
Adam Sandler did receive the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. CNN aired the award ceremony last night. A long time, a lot of his buddies gave speeches. It was kind of like a roast. I watched just a tiny bit of it. Here's a good example with Conan O'Brien.
I come before you tonight to state, in complete honesty and sincerity, you're making a terrible, terrible mistake. No award has screwed up this badly since a MacArthur Genius Grant was given to Vin Diesel. Seriously, people have not been this shocked since I won a Latin Grammy. It was 2019. Look it up. Shakira and I killed it.
Adam Sandler receiving the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. Here's Pete Davidson, another special guest last night. A pretty good SNL joke, actually.
I love you, Adam. You're like my hero. And I mean, like, look at this lineup. I feel like we're all here for the same reason, to remind you how much better SNL was in the 90s.
True.
Very true. Sandler and Farley all got fired together.
Do we have time for one more clip?
Oh, yeah. We got a couple of minutes.
Chris Rock was there, took the stage at the Sandler event, and immediately recognized another celebrity in the crowd, Paul Pelosi.
Flash start.
Paul Pelosi, the only guy that knows how I felt.
Just me and you, Paul. Just me and you, babe.
So what are we talking with Adam Sandler, like the Mount Rushmore Sandler movies? I mean, it's obviously Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison,
The Water Boy.
Water Boys. Oh, you're putting a Water Boy up there?
I think it's made the most money by far. So I think that warrants being in the top three. There's one more spot on the Sandler Mount Rushmore.
Did you like Anger Management with him and Jack Nicholson?
It was pretty good.
Funny.
I don't know if it goes in my Rushmore. Big Daddy, I thought, was pretty good. The Wedding Singer was really good with Drew Barrymore.
But what about some of his serious ones like Punch Drunk Love or Spanglish?
Didn't see those, but I saw the one where
Rain
he was
over
like,
me.
What was the Diamonds one where he was like the sports bettor? You know what I'm talking about, Allison.
Uncut Gems.
You
did you like that?
Man, if you're a degenerate gambler, it takes you on an adrenaline rush. It kind of does, because you could see yourself in those situations, man. But no, I think Sandler, goofy movies, of course, but that's his genre. He's not one of those guys that wants to change who he is because he wants to develop. Like, how many TV shows have been ruined because the characters want to develop? Sandler wants to do stupid stuff to make you laugh 9 times out of 10.
But there have been some serious ones, like I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. kidding. Again, you can't make I pronounce you Chuck and Larry anymore, right? You can't make that in today's society. Two straight single firefighters pretending to be gay to receive some sort of domestic partner benefits.
Right.
Right?
Right. Kevin James and Sandler were supposed to be
do that movie.
Husband and husband in that movie. So good for Sandler, though, man. I've watched a lot of his movies. Seems like a pretty down-to-earth dude. I met him Radio Row at the Super Bowl when the Colts were playing the Saints, the Colts lost.
No kidding.
He and that group, they were all spread out on Radio Row promoting grown-ups.
Yeah.
And Kevin James, he had a football with him. This is what I remember. He walked outside, and we're right outside of the convention center in Miami. There's a big crowd. He takes his football. He throws this damn thing like 60 yards. Kevin James has got a cannon. That's what I took from all their Radio Row stuff. He's a beast. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
It is the Hammer and Nigel Show, live in studio with a Second Amendment attorney, licensed firearms instructor, host of the Gun Guys Show, Guy Relford. How are you?
Man, I'm great, and thanks as always to our sponsor, Fort Liberty Firearms in Avon, 8401 East Highway 36. Great place to buy firearms, ammunition, or accessories. Check out my buddies at the Fort at FortLibertyFirearms.com.
Okay, so we'll start out with this. And I said it earlier, every parent's worst nightmare, a school shooting in Nashville, Tennessee, three students dead, three faculty members dead. Quick police response. 28-year-old woman got into a side door and went up to the second floor lobby, started shooting. And I guess we could just start here with just your overall assessment and, people getting in through side doors. I said, we've got to lock these places down and make them impossible to get into.
Yeah, did we learn nothing from Uvalde?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just what happened in Uvalde. It looked like someone was, blocking a door open to go out and smoke or something in Uvalde. And you would think schools would learn from this. And that's, to me, the primary lesson to take away from it. But, of course, what do we get immediately? Everybody wants to focus on the firearm. But, you know, I've had to remind people several times, even just today, since this is all unfolded, you know, the deadliest school shooting ever was Virginia Tech.
A handgun.
And 32 people died, and it was two handguns.
Oh,
so we really need to, and look, am I minimizing the tragedy, the horror of three students? I think it's three students and three administrators.
Mm-hmm.
No, of course not. Like you said, it's every parent's worst nightmare.
It's mine.
Or grandparents, where I am now. And I don't minimize that for a bit, but my goodness, why don't we look at something that will actually prevent the occurrence rather than wanting to politicize things for people's pre-existing political agendas?
So on the heels of that, they had a press conference earlier today in Nashville. The authorities came out, said what they knew, and the minute that it was over, while all the cameras were still rolling and all the media still assembled, you had some anti-gun activists go up and kind of hijack the press conference. I'm going to play you the audio of it, Guy, and I want to hear your reaction after this.
Aren't you guys tired of covering this? Aren't you guys tired of being here and having to cover all of these mass shootings? I have been lobbying in D.C. since we survived a mass shooting in July. I have met with over 130 lawmakers. How is this still happening? How are our children still dying, and why are we failing them? Gun violence is the number one killer of children and teens. It has overtaken cars. Assault weapons are contributing to the border crisis and fentanyl. We are arming cartels with our guns and our loose gun laws, and these shootings and these mass shootings will continue to happen until our lawmakers step up and pass gun safety legislation. I'm pretty sure this was an unsecured weapon
This
teenager got a hold of. We can't even pass gun safety, like safe storage laws in this country.
Pretty sure, which is fancy talk for I'm guessing here. But what did you think of hearing that for the first time, Guy?
Again, we're not looking at cause and effect. We're not looking at preventing the occurrence. Everybody wants to move directly to their pre-existing political agendas, and that's so shocking to me. I mean, the underlying assumption of this person's comments are that if we ban a certain class of firearms, that school shootings or mass shootings in general will stop. I mean, is that a logical assumption? Again, worst school shooting in history in the United States history anyway, was done with two handguns. So the idea that they'll suddenly just stop if we ban a certain class of firearms. I mean, we had an assault weapon ban from 94 to 04. And the Institute of Justice, part of the Department of Justice, did a study and said that its effect on overall gun crime and overall homicides with firearms was so de minimis, so negligible, that it was too small to measure. And if we were to renew it for another 10 years or in perpetuity, that effect would likely be too small to measure. So too small to measure to suddenly it being a panacea, some kind of magic wand that will stop school shootings. It's naive, it's silly, and I think these people don't even necessarily believe it themselves, or at least some of them. They're just trying to use a tragedy to advance a political agenda.
And maybe this is an unpopular thing to say, but I think it's the real reality. You can't stop a motivated, crazy SOB, whether it's a man or a woman. It was a woman in this case, 28-year-old woman. Yeah. The kind of woman in this case that wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to crawl through a window and I'm going to shoot children, does not care about any sort of laws that you pass. And unfortunately, the real reality, it's hard to stop someone that insane.
Yeah, it comes down to you can't legislate away evil, right? And we all know that. I mean, logical thinking people know that. But folks with political agendas don't think logically. They just want to advance what they want to get done.
Guy Relford here on the Hammer and Nigel show. I saw your client and hero, Eli Dickin, was awarded Citizen of the Year in Greenwood. Of course, he stopped the Greenwood Park Mall shooter. Talk a little bit about that award and what that meant to Eli.
Yeah, I mean, that was neat. on several different levels. First of all, it was great that the city of Greenwood, the mayor down there, and I think this was really driven by Chief of Police James Eisen, who I've become just a huge fan of and a friend of since this whole thing unfolded. And Chief Eisen, I think, really drove this. But the city of Greenwood wanted to say, hey, here's someone, a law-abiding citizen, lawfully carrying a gun, who stepped into the breach, man. You know, he put himself in harm's way, and he saved countless lives. And he killed a mass shooter and put himself in harm's way to do so. By the way, a guy with a pistol taking on a guy with, you know, what now the politicians out there would call an assault weapon, quote unquote. The guy with the pistol won. And saved a lot of lives in the process. So that was a big deal to me, and it meant a lot to me. It meant a lot to me too that Eli invited me to come.
He doesn't do a lot of these types of things. Like, the spotlight is not his thing.
Oh well, Eli hasn't made any public statements, and he won't. He didn't make a public statement at this event. He was very gracious and stood up and smiled and accepted his award and said thank you and shook hands. But he didn't make any speeches or make any comments about the event. And
I'm such a fan of this kid.
I know.
If we ever have a Hammer and Nigel merch store, I want big dick and energy t-shirts. And
oh my God.
I think those things would sell off the rack, man.
Yeah,
I'm telling
no doubt.
You.
Yeah. But he doesn't want the limelight, you know, and he's a little embarrassed by it. And frankly, he's still, and again, I don't want to invade his privacy, but anyone who goes through this has to work through the fact that you've had to use violence, you've had to use deadly force, and that's a big deal. It's a big deal to any caring, thinking person, and that's who definitely Eli Dickin is.
Guy Relford with us. It's Monday Gun Day here on the Hammer and Nigel Show. What's been the reaction of your reaction to the Fox 59 article? Because last week, Fox 59 had this article about how accidental shootings are up, and they're blaming constitutional carry.
Right.
We all kind of heard the same thing, Guy. We've got some sources. They told us it was coming down the line,
right,
and it was. You came on our program and just laid it all out. I mean, just stomped on it. What's been the reaction?
Well, you know, I have to be careful to think that, you know, that maybe my social media and whatnot in particular is just an echo chamber. But I got to tell you, universally, and I posted things publicly. I tagged Fox 59 News. I tagged the reporter, Beer Shell Ed May. And I've gotten almost no effort that I've seen on social media trying to defend that story, defend that logic that, you know, oh yeah, we can directly attribute an increase in accidental shootings to constitutional carry, when they couldn't even break out whether these involved people who didn't have a handgun license or that they even involved a handgun. And you want to blame permitless carry for handguns? It was ludicrous. And I'm hoping that Assistant Chief Christopher Bailey of IMPD is stinging a little bit, too. I went after him pretty hard on my show again on Saturday. And I replayed really the same soundbite that you guys and I discussed last Thursday, where he said some things blaming, you know, constitutional carry for more people buying guns. You don't need a license. You've never needed a license, a handgun license or any other kind, to go buy a gun. It's ludicrous. I hope he's stinging a little bit. I hope the next time he wants to jump in front of a camera, he thinks a little more about getting his facts straight.
Because I know it's like we're getting to that point where they call it sweeps in television, where all the investigative reporters have their big stories that they roll out there. And you could tell this was like one of the big ones that Fox 59, CBS4 is going to work on. But man, they just didn't reach out to the opposite side. And that's when things start get a little squirrely for me.
Well, yeah. And, you know, the fact that it's part of the sweeps or whatever, that went into, and we mentioned it a little bit when we did our segment last Thursday, but did you notice all the sound effects in that thing? You had the scary music in the background. It was like from a horror movie. And then you had sirens, you know, like ambulance sirens in the background.
The only thing missing was like a child screaming.
Oh, yeah.
That was the only sound effect I didn't hear in the background of that.
Sound effect of guns cocking.
Exactly. Nigel mentioned during our spot. He said, I think I counted 30 guns cocking during this thing. It was just
the
so,
Halloween theme song.
Exactly. It was so cheaply done, and it was so theatrical in a laughable way, and it just fell apart on the facts. So, I don't know. Universally, I've really not seen, other than people just come out and make personal attacks, like somebody came on there and said, oh yeah, here we go, an ammo sexual is outraged, talking about me, and
ammo sexual. That's a new one.
That's another t-shirt we'll make with big dick and energy. We'll make both of those.
Absolutely. Well, you know, that's a term often directed at Second Amendment proponents, and I actually, last time somebody called me that, I ignored this one, but last time somebody did that on Twitter or one of the social media platforms, I went back and I said, I have to ask, do you consider that to be an insult because you actually think I have a sexual attraction to ammunition? Because if so, that's just really weird. And then I said, but separately, do you think that's an insult? Do you think I'll be insulted by that because it sounds like homosexual? Because I got to tell you, I don't consider that to be an insult. And I got to believe that makes you incredibly bigoted, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Flip the script on him.
Yeah,
well done.
Exactly. And of course, I got blocked right away. So I did the victory dance after that one.
So, Guy, there's a story from Arizona from a Family Dollar. An employee at the Family Dollar store in Arizona facing attempted murder charges after shooting a shoplifter who punched him in the face. Kevin Madrid encountered the alleged serial shoplifter inside the Phoenix store last week, warned the suspect to stop stealing and leave. The pair began to argue. The shoplifter then punched him in the face. Madrid responded by pulling a gun and shooting the suspect 10 times.
Oh. What are we thinking here?
Well, let's look at this under Indiana law, right? Since I'm not an Arizona lawyer, it starts off, and obviously circumstances change during the interaction, but it starts off, it's a shoplifting. You know, can you pull a gun on someone? In Indiana, you can't even point a gun at someone to protect your personal property other than your home. So can you point a gun at someone or shoot someone because they're shoplifting? No. But obviously, that's not all that happened here. They get into a confrontation, and a shoplifter punches the clerk. Well, at that point, is it legal to pull your gun and shoot? Indiana law, like the law of most states, says that the level of force you use to defend yourself or a third person has to be proportionate to the threat against you. Now, an unarmed person who's punching you can easily cause serious bodily injury or death, right? So the question is, under the totality of circumstances, do you reasonably believe that deadly force is necessary to prevent serious bodily injury or death? That's the analysis. So a lot of this is going to come down to the video in terms of, you know, was the shoplifter bigger, stronger, more aggressive, younger, whatever it might be.
What constitutes a serious bodily injury? Well, is that just a broken nose or is that a black eye?
It's actually defined in the statute, and it's in Indiana. It says serious bodily injury, and it goes right down the list. It says something that causes a permanent protracted loss of a bodily member or organ, meaning bite your ear off or whatever, but causes extreme pain or unconsciousness is part of the definition.
Okay.
If you're being rained down upon with blow after blow, you're going to pull your gun out.
You can't defend yourself by
somebody that's overpowering you.
Exactly. And look at the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman trial. That was an unarmed teenager who's winning the fight, and as George Zimmerman down and is cracking his head against the sidewalk, and a jury found that Zimmerman at that point, even though Trayvon didn't have a gun, he pulled his gun and shot. He found that would be justified. But it's based on what's called the totality of the circumstances and any disparity of force. So a lot of this, if there's video, it's going to be, or if there are eyewitnesses, it's going to be very important to know things like how big was the shoplifter versus the clerk, you know, how aggressive, how young or old or strong or weak, all those things are going to go into whether it's reasonable to respond to a fist fight with a gun, because easily a prosecutor or a jury could decide that wasn't proportionate to the threat and charge them accordingly.
If anybody's got any questions or wants to continue the conversation, where can they find you?
Yeah, relfordlaw.com, best way to get a hold of me.
2A attorney, Guy Relford. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Hammer and Nigel.
Do you believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock
it! My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer right over there. Got a lot of stories involving China.
China.
China. So let's, before we start, set the mood here with a montage of Donald Trump saying, China.
You go over to China.
China.
China. China. China. China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
I have to have my China.
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 Does that amuse me so much? Why am I, it cracks me up every time I hear it.
So at his rally this past weekend down in Texas, in Waco, Donald Trump talked about China. But he did it in a very interesting way. He said that China is not the problem, we are.
The problem isn't China, the problem is stupid people that have to deal with China. That's the problem, and that's what we have.
So basically, we have morons in charge of this country, which makes China more of a problem. Here's a little bit more from the president.
The rule of law is a tremendous threat to Western civilization. And I say, I was asked the other day, and I took a little heat for it. They said, who's our biggest threat? Is it China, sir? Is it Russia? I said, no, our biggest threat are high-level politicians that work in the United States government, like Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi, Schumer, Biden. Justice Department.
Man, I kind of agree with him on that statement. Look at the problems that affect you every single day living your life. Is it China that's a problem for you? Or is it morons in charge of this country that are making point, the border wide open so fentanyl comes in? And fentanyl is one of the biggest killers of young men in this country. Is it, you know, the defund the police lunatics that ultimately could it be responsible for what happened in Denver last week, where they defunded the police? There was no school resource officer, and they had a shooting take place in the school that should have never taken place in the first place. So who's a bigger pain in your ass, China or our elected officials?
Yeah, and the other thing is China, I don't think, would get as squirrely as they are right now if it weren't for the weak leadership that's displayed by this administration. And let's go back to Russia for a second. I mean, think about Russia invading Georgia in 2008. Russia invading, I believe, it was Crimea in Ukraine in 2014. Russia invading a full-on invasion of Ukraine in 2022. What did all those have in common? Well, let's see. 2008 was Obama?
Not Donald Trump.
Well, 2014 was Obama?
Not Donald Trump.
2022, last year, that was Biden?
Not Donald Trump.
Just saying.
When you fear the United States, if you're another country and you fear the United States, it's funny how their behavior straightens up just a little bit. It's weird how that works out. Again, we are focusing on China this break.
China.
Thank you.
So COVID came from China. I don't think that's a hot take anymore. COVID came from China. And the latest on COVID is that you can add disinfecting to the list of things that didn't stop coronavirus.
Wait a minute. Like wiping down everything that was recommended to us at the beginning was wrong too. This is from the New York Times, Hammer. Look at this. The cleaning industry experienced a boom during the first years of the pandemic. COVID-19 cleaning protocols in schools, stores, and other public spaces ratcheted up, with a spray and wipe down becoming regular on every surface after every use. Fear of the coronavirus also prompted people to use more disinfectant wipes and sprays in their homes.
Right.
And consumer spending on cleaning products increased 12% between 2019 and 2021. Here's the kicker. We now know that the extra cleaning was unlikely to have helped limit the spread of COVID, but it did increase people's exposure to the chemicals used in those products, some of which may be hazardous to your health.
Oh, come on.
This is from the New York Times. The very recommendations we were following by the CDC, now we're endangered because of the exposure to chemicals. Will we ever trust the public health establishment ever again if something else happens?
So wiping down everything did not help. Let's see, what else didn't help? 6 feet apart did not help. Those stupid dividers, like the plexiglass dividers, did not help.
Yeah, that actually hindered circulation and filtration. Masks didn't help.
Nope.
Lockdown certainly didn't help. School closings never helped.
No.
Horrible.
Not at all. Not at all.
And the vaccine worked marginal at best to keeping some old people with comorbidities out of the hospital.
Now, I am wondering, though, like if more people are wiping down their workstation or using hand sanitizer, has that helped defeat the flu a little
bit? Yeah, because you can pick up the stomach. I think you can pick up the flu via surfaces, right? I mean, I think you could get a stomach bug. I remember I was here, like we were here in 2015, and like half this building was out with the stomach flu. So I think that does help with that. But I think really the only, I mean, COVID was aerosol. Really, the only way you can get it is not by hand, you know, shaking hands. Remember, you're allowed to shake your hands. Remember right. when you weren't allowed to touch your hands to your face? And now you're telling me all this hand sanitizer is actually harmful and destructive? And you can point to who did profit from all this. Said in the New York Times, the
cleaning companies.
Cleaning companies. And then, of course, big tech.
I love it. Don't touch your face, but here's a face mask. Now put it on your ear, strap it across, fix it upright, but try not to adjust your face.
I'm going to be honest with you here. I don't know if you did this, but in the first weeks of COVID, we had like an alcohol delivery from like Total Wine or Drizzly or something like that. And I was one of those morons that sat out there and wipe down every can of Miller Lite. About three quarters of the way through.
Okay.
About three quarters of the way through, I just became disgusted with myself. I shook my head. I go, this is the stupidest thing I've ever done. So I did wipe down three quarters of a case of Miller Lite once. After
was that
drop
rock
off.
Bottom for
that
you?
That was rock. That was. I never got scared or paranoid during COVID. We tried to keep things as normal as we did for our kids. But yeah, I did wipe down three quarters of a case of Miller Lite. And that's really, yeah, that was my rock bottom.
Here's a little bit more from China.
China.
The debate about China-owned TikTok continues. Boy. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby went on with Face the Nation yesterday on CBS. Margaret Brennan was the host. And I'm going to play a piece of audio for you here in just a moment. Kirby was trying to discuss how serious the threat of spying was with China and TikTok. But then Margaret Brennan pointed out that just last week, the cast of Ted Lasso was in the White House doing TikToks with Joe Biden, the president of the United States, and she basically laughs right in his face.
We showed a video in that last segment of the president on TikTok from a video shot by a celebrity inside the White House. So for the 150 million Americans who still use this app, how do you say to them, sorry, we're going to take it away?
It's not on
it
government.
Looks
it's
hypocritical.
It's not on government devices. We do have legitimate national security concerns. We'd have legitimate national security concerns over TikTok.
It's a useful political platform.
Like she's still laughing
just
at it.
Again, yeah. our concerns on the national security front are valid.
Nobody takes these people seriously.
Who is that, Brennan?
Yeah,
Margaret Brennan laughing at him.
Right in his face.
And she even said, and that's a great point she said at the end. She's like, yeah, it's a useful political platform to get your message out for the Democrats.
Right.
Wow.
Do we have time for one more story?
I don't care.
I think we've got time for one more story from China.
China.
So for this story, we're going to play a little game, Nige.
All right.
It's called, Is John Kerry an Idiot?
It's time to play, Is John Kerry an Idiot?
Irony is good to
So Franken Kerry, John Kerry, says it's important that we work with China on the climate. And we can't get bogged down by other issues because we have to work with China on the climate.
Yes, they're behind and it's a problem. Coal is a problem. But that's why it's important we work with China, we reach out to China, and that's what we're trying to do. And the president has tried very hard. Our president has tried hard to separate climate from the other issues that are real, that we obviously have with China, but we can't get bogged down by that. because this is a universally felt existential challenge to the planet, and it's important that the two largest economies in the world work to try to resolve it.
So if it's such an existential threat to the United States, the existence of the human race, we should invade China, right? We should invade India. I got news for you. They're one of the biggest producers of coal. The carbon footprint is
just
huge. Give me a break. Oh, well, we're going to work with China. In the meantime, we're going to bankrupt this country by going green and taking away our energy production.
So to answer the question, yes, John Kerry is an idiot because China doesn't give two flying rat's rear ends about the climate. They don't care at all. They're laughing at you, just like Margaret Brennan laughed in the face of the Pentagon advisor.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Hammer and Nigel presents
is...
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Yeah. Is this anything?
All right, let's rock and roll.
Hammer, how do we play Is This Anything?
I am going to run a story or two by you. You break down all the information and give us a verdict. Is the story anything or not?
Okay.
Dateline Florida. A sheriff in Florida is looking for a spring breaker caught on a security camera going into someone's yard and using it as a bathroom.
Oh, please tell me it's Grady.
Here is Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd with his plea to the community to help find this lady and her, quote, shiny rear end.
We have trespassing. It involves a lady that's gone into a neighborhood on Lake Winterset, into the hedge area, and she's popped a squat and showed us her shiny rear end while she goes to the bathroom in these people's hedges. I want you to think for a second. What if somebody stopped their car and walked up into your yard and started doing the number one thing or the number two thing in your hedges?
Yes, this is something, and I love the fact that Grady Judd had to call a press conference because somebody got caught pooping in the front yard of a private citizen.
It's the new smoking in the boys' room. Pooping in the hedges.
Ah, pooping in the hedges. It was probably Smokey from Friday.
Hey, Smokey over here, take it up.
God, I love Grady Judd. I love that they called a press conference just to find this chick's shiny rear end.
Grady Judd is a favorite here on the Hammer and Nigel show, the Polk County Sheriff from Florida.
Yep.
So let's have great moments and Sheriff Grady Judd history.
But we have received information on social media that some of the criminals were going to take their criminal conduct into the neighborhoods. I would tell them, if you value your life, you probably shouldn't do that in Polk County, because the people of Polk County like guns. They have guns. I encourage them to own guns.
Yeah.
And they're going to be in their homes tonight with their guns loaded. And if you try to break into their homes to steal, to set fires, I'm highly recommending they blow you back out of the house with their guns.
That was during the summer of love of 2020. Gotta
love Grady Judd.
Here is Sheriff Grady Judd with a message to anybody that's thinking about trying to harm somebody at a school, whether you're being a school shooter or some sort of sexual deviant. Here is Sheriff Grady Judd.
Let me give it to you in Polk County vernacular. This is the last thing you'll see before we put a bullet through your head if you're trying to hurt our children. We're going to shoot you graveyard dead if you come onto a campus with a gun threatening our children
are shooting at us.
Graveyard dead is a term that I had not heard before. That clip.
I will follow Grady Judd anywhere.
Yes.
That man has my unwavering support. Sheriff Grady Judd.
I will send him campaign contributions, even though I don't really even know where Polk County is in Florida.
Is this anything? This guy's wife had a pregnancy craving at work for a bowl of Fruit Loops with warm milk.
Ooh.
So here's what he did about it.
I'm about to go pick my baby up, and she says she is craving Fruit Loops. I cannot forget to warm up the milk, because that's just the way how she likes it.
Hi, baby daddy. How you doing? Ah, no! That's for me! What is for you?
No, that's for you.
The milk is warm.
I warmed it up on purpose.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, I love you.
That dude's a hero. You got to come through for the preggo wife sometimes, right? They
absolutely
have those weird cravings. I don't. Did Crystal have any of that weird stuff? Warm milk and Fruit Loops? That's what this pregnant lady was craving?
Nothing weird, really. Nothing out of the ordinary.
I can't remember Lindsay having anything, although my son and I are, you know, we still every once in a while watch Little House on the Prairie. And we're into the later series, later episodes in the later years. And like Nellie Olson, awful, awful human being.
Right.
That guy married her and she got knocked up. And one of her cravings, it was so gross. She was dipping a giant pickle in honey or in syrup and eating it. And it was about to make me sick watching it.
I think that was Charles Ingalls' way he put it. Well, she got knocked up. Everybody back to the prairie. She got knocked up. Is this anything?
Oh, man.
A fan threw a drink at Morgan Wallen during a concert in Australia. Here is how the country music superstar reacted.
Get out. Yeah, I think that's something. I mean, you can't be throwing stuff up on stage if you're at a concert. Sorry. I mean,
what if it's panties or a bra? Because I think if you're a member of Motley Crue or Van Halen, you're expecting to see panties and bras.
Who was it that got mad that a bra got thrown on stage?
Luke Bryan.
I'm Luke Bryan. Don't you dare throw your undergoods at me on stage.
No panties and bras. I'm Luke Bryan. I mean, you expect it if you're a certain type of artist, right? But I don't know. I'll tell you what. When you're thinking about great moments and kicking fans out of concert history,
yes,
the number one seed in this tournament is Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
Get the f*** out of my show right now. Get the f*** out. Get the f*** out of my show. You don't come to my show and fight. You come to my show and f***ing dance, you ass.
The Hammer and Nigel Show.
You're listening to The Hammer and Nigel Show.
I remember waiting for the school bus.
We got a lot going on. More on this Nashville school shooting coming up in just a little bit. But first, let's check in with wheeling, dealing, hair sniffing, kiss stealing Joe Biden.
I got hairy legs.
Happy birthday, Jim Allen.
The winner.
Kajan Katanji Drown Jackson.
So, if you missed any of it, talking about Joe Biden's press conference with Pretty Boy, Justin Trudeau of Canada, it was a mixture of sadness and bullcrap. I think it was pretty even, 50-50 sadness and bullcrap. Let's start with the sadness. Because he's so mentally unable of answering tough questions on his own, Joe Biden once again, and you're going to hear this, opens up a binder and looks at the people that he's allowed to call on.
All right. I guess the first person I'm calling on is Josh. Josh, brother. Josh.
All right. Let me see. First person I'm calling on is Josh.
Yeah.
Like, it's sad because the president of the United States doesn't have the mental capacities to do a press conference.
He Yeah, they're planned out in advance. Susan Rice probably tells him who he can and can't talk to. And you never saw that with Trump. Like, Trump just got out there and started taking questions, would point to people, not even know who they are. Sometimes he'd go to Jim Acosta first, you know, his toughest opponent. And when I say tough opponent, I just mean really kind of a weasel.
Right.
But Trump never did that. I love those. I was so addicted to Trump's press conferences when COVID was happening, and he would do like 2-hour press conferences and nothing but questions on COVID and just take hit after hit after hit from the mainstream corporate media. And he'd sit there and take it.
He'd do that with chopper pressers every day.
And when I say take it, I don't mean take it. I mean take tough questions. He didn't look at a list. Was it a pre-approved list of people? You know, nobody's going to tell him who he can and can't talk to.
Right.
Certainly within the Biden administration, though, you do.
That's so weak. That looks so incredibly weak. Now let's move on to the bullcrap portion of his press conference with Pretty Boy. This is where Joe Biden was bragging about the illegal border crossings, calling it a success.
Since we created dedicated pathways in the United States, the number of migrants arriving on our southern border has dropped precipitously.
Dropped precipitously.
That's crazy.
More than 6.1 million illegal immigrants have crossed the border since Joe Biden took office, including 1.3 million gotaways.
Yeah, the gotaways are what scares me because they're the ones that don't want to get fingerprinted. Those are the ones that don't want to be identified in any way, shape, or form. The 6 million illegal immigrants, at least they're processed at the very least. And then, of course, they're let into the country to go wherever they want with a court date, which they never show up to.
Right.
Many don't show up anyway. But the 1.3 million gotaways is what scares me, Hammer.
How about this? Let's just narrow down the information here. Let's narrow down the data. 72 hours at the border this past weekend. These are the numbers from Border Patrol. Again, 72 hours the weekend at the border. One agent was assaulted. 14,200 people were apprehended.
Jeez.
They found 399 pounds of cocaine, 185 pounds of meth, 137 pounds of fentanyl, 55 pounds of weed, $64,000 in cash, one weapon, one stolen vehicle, one gang member in custody, two sex offenders in custody. That was all in just 72 hours.
72 hours, 3 days. As a span of 3 days, all that happened. And that's just one weekend, man.
And Joe Biden says they're having success.
They're not having success. That's an absolute abject lie.
And this is more of the sad aspect to his press conference with Trudeau. Toward the end, after he had gone through the 4 or 5 reporters that he's allowed to call on because they'll feed him softballs, he's so damn old and he's so damn weak that he can't take any more questions because his handlers, they're bossing him around and they're telling him it's time for dinner.
And they're telling me I'm talking too long because we got to go to dinner.
You're standing there with the world leader. You're standing there with Justin Trudeau. There's a lot of things going on in the world. There's a war going on. You got a crisis at the border. Your presidential rival is in court in Manhattan. They're telling me that we got to go to dinner. Can you play that one more time, please, Allison?
And they're telling me I'm talking too long because we got to go to dinner.
That's another one of those things where he goes, I'm going to get in trouble for answering questions. He's always said that. From the beginning, they're not gonna like this. They told me not to take any more questions.
Like Susan Rice is over there in the corner doing the throat slash gesture to him.
Right. Or Jill Biden for that matter.
Dr. Jill, the throat slash gesture.
No more questions. They're telling me I'm gonna get in trouble.
Pointing at the watch. It's time to go to dinner, you stupid old goat.
It's 4:30, we're gonna miss the early bird special.
If you want to watch Matlock before bed, we better go to dinner right the hell now, mister. More on your president. This is a report from Reuters. President Biden reportedly frustrated at Vice President Kamala Harris for not, and I'm going to use their words here from the article, quote, rising to the occasion as his second in command.
And this is Reuters. This isn't like from a right-wing outlet.
Right.
This is Reuters, who is, you know, certainly has a left-wing bias, just like AP and all the other corporate media.
The story from Reuters included comments from high-ranking officials in the Biden administration who revealed some of the president's candid opinions about Harris. Quote, if he did not think she was capable, he would not have picked her, but it is a question of consistently rising to the occasion. Another official says, quote, I don't think the president sees her as somebody who takes anything off of his plate. Another official telling Reuters, Joe Biden sees her as being scared of messing up.
Well, she's certainly done that. Maybe he's trying to push her out. She's so unlikable. Maybe he's looking for somebody else to run with him in 2024. I mean, she's, for God's sake, she's the border czar. She's spending a week in Africa right now. What is she doing in Africa? Can you come take care of the border, Miss Border Czar? And when you think, I would be bitter if I was her. You turn it around and flip it back the other way. I would totally be bitter. You accuse the president of being a racist during the Democratic primaries. You said you believe his accuser, Tara Reid. She needs to be heard. She needs to be believed. And now you sold out and you're working for the guy. I mean, you went from having, apart from being, you know, something were to ever happen to President Biden, apart from, you know, being in that succession line, she doesn't, I mean, it's mostly ceremonial. It's mostly a figurehead type of position. She doesn't have any powers. I would argue she's less powerful now than she was when she was a senator for California.
If this story from Reuters is true, where multiple White House officials have told them all of these pieces of information, how does it feel, Kamala Harris, to be the dumb one, the incompetent one, in a relationship where the other half is Joe Biden? Let that sink in for just a moment. Good Lord. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
This situation absolutely requires a really futile and stupid gesture be done on somebody's part. We're just the guys to do it.
Hammer and Nigel.
Point of personal privilege here. Let me say happy birthday to my beautiful 9-year-old daughter, Harper. Turned 9 yesterday. Man.
Happy birthday, dear Velvet.
Man, such an awesome day yesterday. We went to Carmel, Midtown Plaza there where the Sun King Brewery is. And so her and my wife and her grandma went to something called Cake Bake. In Carmel, I have no idea what Cake Bake is.
Okay,
and
Allison's over here nodding her head. You know what Cake Bake is?
Do you know what Cake Bake is? I don't
know. So it's very pink and frilly and girly inside, and it's like a little tea party almost when you go in. But the cake is amazing.
Okay, so yeah, so the ladies did that, and then me and the father-in-law bellied up at Sun King and watched basketball. And then they met us there afterwards.
So you had some good family time. The family ran off, and you sat there and got drunk. That's family time to Big Nige.
Oh, God. That was a really...
as long as you're in the same city, that counts as family time.
We snagged a table outside, and they came and met us later for lunch and had some good food. So what an incredible day yesterday, and just what a complete letdown today was.
And I'm looking at the extended forecast here, and... Man, I wish I had better news for you. Now, Friday, it's supposed to be like 64 or 65, but there's a chance of severe weather on Friday.
Wonderful.
Like maybe some thunderstorms, tornado watches, things like that. So perhaps we'll get Marcus Bailey on later in the week. But Saturday, back down to 49 as a high again, man. That's supposed to be opening day for my son's high school baseball season. We're going down to Scottsburg because Beech Grove plays a doubleheader.
Bring your winter coat.
Oh, man, just stinks. All right, I'm going to read you a headline from the New York Post. You tell me if anything sticks out to you, okay?
Okay.
Trans woman claims that airport TSA punched her in her testicles.
Oh, no. Well, the line that stands out to me is, punched her in the testicles.
Yes.
That's kind of what it stands out to me.
Correct.
Hey, look, man, you're trans. you're straight, you're gay, you're bi, I don't care what it, you do. Just know that if you're a trans, quote unquote, trans woman and you're going through TSA and you got the beanbag hanging out down there, they're very aggressive when they do those pat downs.
They're coming for it.
I know trans. I've been the victim of it. And so this trans
You
woman,
got the old rubber glove treatment, right?
Well, not only that, they didn't stop till they got the back of your teeth. This trans woman's claiming that you got her testes punched, but then she started crying.
We call that a nut tap back in the day.
Yeah, a tap, a tap. Oh, yeah, a tap. I mean, I had the same thing happen. I mean, like, I got the heavy pat down at the airport to the point where
they hit you with a bat.
Casino. But it was my daughter that was actually crying watching me get felt up. Well, they had put the little thing to test for explosives on her hands for some reason. It came back positive. I have no idea why. Said, we're going to need to pat down your daughter. I go, no, you're not patting her down. And they were like, okay, we need to pat somebody down here. I go, okay, I'll take one for the team. And they asked
me if put your underwear back on.
just started disrobing. They asked me if I wanted to go into a private room.
Are they going to buy you a drink first?
Yeah, right. So I was like, no, I'm just standing there. But I mean, they had to get the guy, TSA agent over there. And I mean, they were touching everywhere. I mean, they were sliding right past Big Jim and the Twins.
Right. They go after
with the back of his hand. They kind of, I mean, it's like my wife was just staring at me, like kind of laughing with her mouth agape, just like, I cannot believe they're doing this to you.
Should have told her to take notes. We got to keep this marriage fresh, honey. I need you to take some notes.
Yeah. All the while, my daughter was crying. It was traumatizing. Oh, but yeah, look, I mean, that's those TSA agents, man, they get a little aggressive, trans or no trans, got to be careful.
And if you're new to having a beanbag, just know this is how it is, right? Like, these things get hurt all the time.
You're saying if it's a woman that transitioned into a man and had an appendage added to you, get ready.
Get ready, yeah. Pal. They're going for the beanbag. Like, I feel like they have a bounty out at the airport, like the TSA staff.
Yeah.
Oh, you see that fat hillbilly over there? Yeah, that guy said he's from Liston. I'll give you $5 if you just see if you can make him cry. Squeeze one of them. Try to milk something. Let's see what happens.
My favorite part, though, is like they asked me if I wanted to go to a private room. I'm like, okay, I've never been through this before. What exactly is going to happen here? Am I going to have to bend over and... Moon River! Dr. Jellyfinger, use the whole fist there, Tom.
What if going to the private room would have been the best thing that ever happened to you? You get in there, they shut the door, they got a fully stocked bar. Man, we just needed a break. We got to make it look like we're doing something out there. Either, you looked like a cool enough dude.
Either that or the theme music to Blue Oyster plays.
The lewd nude dude in the news theme song.
Yeah, for Police Academy.
ESPN is honoring Women's History Month all month long.
Oh, good.
So think about some of the great women athletes, right? You know, the Williams sisters, this Caitlin Clark girl who plays college basketball for Iowa. She's amazing. She's unbelievable. But right now, they have a big program about honoring a biological man, Leah Thomas. So if you're watching ESPN, they're celebrating Women's History Month. And Allison, I want to get you in the mix here. And of all the women in sports that you can celebrate, you know, from those who made Title IX possible to the amazing athletes you see on the women's soccer team and everything else, WNBA stars, whatever, to be honoring a biological male, is that a slap in the face to women?
I mean, like you said, there's a lot of women athletes who've done a lot for, you know, us.
Who are biological women, and I can't stress that enough.
And by the way, there are women, Martina Navratilova, a longtime tennis superstar, lesbian woman, has come out against this kind of thing. There are outspoken critics of this kind of thing that are gay.
This is the kind of crap why ESPN is getting ready to have mass firings, because that's the rumor, mass firings coming down from Disney and ESPN. Go woke, go broke. You're having Women's History Month, and you're going to honor a biological dude. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Do you believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock!
Nigel, Jason Hammer, right over there. Certainly every parent's worst nightmare, school shooting. This time in Nashville, Tennessee. Three kids dead, three faculty members dead. The shooter is dead. 28-year-old woman got in through a side door, scaled up the, I believe, walked up to the second floor of the stairs and started firing in the lobby.
The name is out there of the shooter. Policy on this show is we're not going to say the name of the shooter. We're not going to give them, even though they're no longer with us, any sort of satisfaction or infamy. If you want to find out who it is, go ahead. Now, there may be some political opponents, some political aspects to this, rather, that come into play. We'll find out more about that later. But right now, this is simply about a tragedy that took place at a school that, again, had a window that was easily accessible to this lunatic. We can talk about gun control. You can talk about mental health. But did we learn nothing from Uvalde? Please lock up your damn windows and doors because people are crazy. Please do that. Every school administrator that's listening right now, I hate that it has to be this way, but make sure your staff knows to lock every door and window. Don't prop anything open because this is how tragedies like today in Nashville, Tennessee happen. Now, let's bring it back to Indianapolis here. The crime numbers over this past weekend. We like to do this every Monday.
We don't like to. We feel it's that we're the only ones talking about it, so we should let you know.
Correct. So over the weekend, Friday through early this morning, 11 people shot, 4 stabbed, 2 killed. A 13-year-old girl was killed at a house party. 13 years old. Now, this information we're giving you doesn't include the Indiana State Police. They had a double shooting on the interstate that left one dead. And oh, by the way, the Kroger grocery store was robbed at gunpoint on the southwest side, right there off of Kentucky Avenue over the weekend. So it's been a pretty violent stretch here in central Indy. Right now, Indianapolis is averaging 21 people shot or stabbed every week, and 4.25 homicides every week.
And by the way, they haven't found the killer for the 13-year-old yet. Her family is pleading for help, and somebody knows something somewhere, and they have not found the shooter yet.
I don't believe they found the person that robbed the grocery store at gunpoint yet either. Right now, Indianapolis is on pace for approximately 220 homicides. When you look at the numbers of homicides that have taken place under Joe Hogsett's leadership in this city, it's embarrassing. It's sickening. And we've talked about this a lot. You're seeing more crime happen in central Indy because criminals know there's a chance they're going to get away with it.
Oh, sure. They're smart.
It's the path of least resistance to a lot of bad guys. With Ryan Mears in the prosecutor's office and Boss Hogsett sitting in the mayor's office, if you're a bad guy, you're playing with house money here in Indianapolis. One, they know people aren't going to snitch on them because whoever does is going to get right back out on the street.
Yeah.
Based on the leadership of this city, it's a hell of a conundrum here. But that's what happens here when you have radical leadership. 200 homicides should not be the norm in this city. It shouldn't be. And as of right now, Indy is on pace for over 220 homicides. That's disgusting. Let's shift gears completely, Nige, and let's play a few rounds of Is It Racist?
Oh, boy.
It's time to play Is It Racist?
Now, if you're not familiar with this game, maybe you're tuning in for the first time. Here to explain the rules is AOC.
Is it racist? Is something racist, yes or no?
Thank you.
And I love the fact that it's two flabby middle-aged white guys that get to decide if something's racist or not. It's my favorite.
Is it racist to say that race-based curriculum doesn't need to be taught to your kids?
Like CRT?
Right.
What are you talking about?
So a lot of people say, well, your white privilege is showing. How dare you say that teaching about race and ethnic studies is not something you want your kindergartners to learn about? But is it racist if a black woman says it? Because this takes us to what's happening in Minnesota.
I saw this, yeah.
This is a black mother's desperate plea to the school board about voting no on CRT on the classroom studies of young children in Minneapolis.
My name is Coffee Monska. I'm an attorney, wife, and mom to three boys, two of which are in high school. This bill requires that schools teach ethnic studies starting in kindergarten, and I am against this. You might ask, why in the world would a black person speak against ethnic studies? Because not everything that sounds good is good. The definition of ethnic studies right there in the statute says that there is a connection between a person's race and their stratification. The bill tells kids of color that they are stuck in a caste system based on their race. It also tells kids, and I quote, that institutions chronically favor white people and disadvantage people of color. I'm sick of everyone denying the enormous progress we've made in this country, acting like it's 1930. We used to have a race-based system. We got rid of it, and now you're all trying to bring it back.
Wow. Whoa.
And that's from a black mom in the school district in Minnesota.
Yeah, I don't want my kids growing up thinking they're victims the entire time. Imagine growing up and being a minority and being told you don't have a shot because of racism. You don't have a shot in this country because of systemic oppression. It's just not true.
Right. And that was the message from this mother. Here's a little bit more.
Just last month in my high schooler's band class, the teacher took 20 minutes at the beginning of class to talk about anti-racism. He told the kids to look around. And then he said the black boys in the school would likely not live to retirement because of racism and the police. Another furious kid of color recorded this conversation. And so I was able to hear it for myself with my own ears. If this law is passed, teaching this hopelessness kids of color will be mandated starting in kindergarten. And I can see why you white proponents of this bill might support it. It's not your kids being told that they can't succeed, and you get to shed some of your white guilt in the process. I ask that you please vote against this bill. Thank you for this opportunity.
Boy, she flipped the script on them, didn't she?
She eviscerated those people. Wow. I mean, it's one thing if we say it. It's another thing if someone of color says it.
Right.
And it makes total sense.
And by the way, if you feel like that type of crap is being taught to your kids, because in that second clip we played, you heard the mom say in her high school student's class, it was a 20-minute speech on how the black kids will never retire because of racism and the police. If any of that crap is being taught to your kids, let us know. Reach out to us here at the Hammer and Nigel Show. Reach out to Tony Kennett, who comes on with us every Wednesday. We will absolutely address it. We'll have conversations about it. So talk to your kids about what is being taught in the classroom. One more, is it racist for you, Nige? CNN's John Blake wrote an article at CNN.com that says, if you are a white person and you use a meme or a GIF on social media that includes a black person, you're racist, and that's called digital blackface. Blackface.
Yeah, I'm not sure I've heard that terminology. I've never
of
heard
of course
that.
You haven't, because it's ridiculous and stupid.
And
that's
somebody
why.
On CNN said it. Right?
Digital blackface. So if I share a meme of like Samuel L. Jackson being mad because I'm mad that Tennessee got beat, or I'm mad that the Pacers got beat, I'm showing digital blackface.
I would say probably if you want to be taken more seriously as a journalist and highlight instances of actual racism, this is not the way to do it. This is how to get people to roll their eyes and just say, yeah, okay, whatever.
So if you've ever used the GIF of 50 Cent pulling up in the car, smiling, yeah, and driving off, yeah, you might as well be in the Klan, according to this CNN reporter.
So ridiculous.
So stupid.
Right now, though, I love...
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
of Elon Musk, how he's laying down the law on Twitter. They've had it. They've had a pretty easy go of it at Twitter before Elon Musk took over. Working from home, when you did come into Twitter, there was, you had all your meals paid for.
Push your political views right down the throat of people.
Oh, there's that. Yeah. So early this morning, or no, I guess this was last week in the early morning, the wee hours, an email was sent out at 2:30 in the morning by Elon Musk to everyone at Twitter. Everyone, you know, corporate-wide email. The email declaring that the office is not optional landed in Twitter employees' inbox. So he sent out an email basically saying that the office isn't optional. I was here the other day. The building was half full.
I paid a lot of money for this place. I overpaid for this place.
Overpaid is a...
I'm removing check marks. I'm trying to get people to buy them back. And all I'm asking for is you losers to physically show up.
Yeah, I mean, so when they did have to come to work before Elon Musk bought it, it was infrequent, apparently, working from home. A lot of people work from home, though. I mean, that's, you know, I don't think my wife has ever had an office job in the past 5 years. It's always from her office in our house. But this is different. You want bodies in the office, especially at a place like Twitter where there's a lot of collaboration and camaraderie, and that kind of helps when you're in a creative thinking environment like that, right?
I hated during the pandemic when our radio station building was empty. And man, I don't know if it ever got back to where it was before, but just seeing people in this building, I don't know, it gets the juices flowing a little bit.
Now, I will admit, I mean, we got used to it because you and I were, all the air talent was still coming in. There's nobody else was, bosses.
Well, coming management. In is a bold statement because Tony works from home.
Well, you
lazy
know what I mean.
Bum.
But I got kind of used to it. And then when people did finally start coming back and the parking garage started filling up and I couldn't find a place to park, that's when I said, all right, this sucks. Everybody go back home and work. But Elon Musk frequently sends those late night emails, rumor has it. 2:30, what's he thinking about 2:30 in the morning? Hey, all y'all need to come into the office. It's not optional. At 2:30 in the morning, they get that email.
I can't even begin to try to figure out what goes through that dude's mind. Is he thinking about space stuff? Is he thinking about Twitter? Is he thinking about how AI is going to basically take over all of our lives?
And then there's, that one car company, Tesla.
Tesla? Is he thinking about Tesla stuff?
So, yeah. Oh, speaking of AI, you mentioned AI. There's a new study out that it was talking about which occupations do Americans think will be most affected by advances in AI, artificial intelligence. So the largest percentages believe that AI will decrease the number of jobs available in fields of manufacturing.
Really?
Customer service and retail sales.
See, I would have thought that manufacturing and sales would have had to have that personal, you know, physical ability to it.
Yeah. There's automated assembly lines for cars and, you know, car manufacturers and stuff like that. But
that's
you still
true.
Have to be, I mean, you still have to have humans there. AI is most likely to be expected to increase the total number of jobs available in computer programming, data science, and engineering. So hence, you know, Joe Biden telling you to learn to code.
You know, he was ahead of his time, wasn't he?
I'm getting rid of all the fossil fuels and coal mining jobs, so you better learn to code.
He was a visionary. Who knew?
So, yeah, up to 80% of workers could see their jobs impacted by artificial intelligence is what this study said.
I don't like it, man. Like, I see some of these deep fake pictures. I hear some audio. Like, there's a video I think Barstool posted of just some random white dude laying his voice down on a track. He wrote his own lyrics, but there was a program that made it sound like Kanye West was rapping it.
No kidding. There's AI radio DJs. I think we had the audio of that a couple of days ago.
His name is Rob Kendall.
Here is a little tribute, an unfortunate tribute about AI taking over the world from Hammer and Nigel.
Hey, all you human workers, sing along. Everything you had to learn, AI knows. And that job that you thought was yours, to AI it goes. Oh. With a search here and a chat there. Here a search, there a chat. We don't need to interact. Not so sure I like this farm of stuff that AI grows.
And that was obviously to the tune of old McDonald. I went into McDonald's the other day. I don't think they want you going into McDonald's anymore.
They don't want you going into McDonald's.
Because I order like $80 worth of food. Of course, I love they love me there. But they don't want you. If you do go into McDonald's, it's the kiosk, right? It's the giant kiosk. You're not interacting with a human being at all. You can order at the counter, but there's hardly any space. There's just one cash register.
Right.
You know what I mean? They've redid the inside of this McDonald's by my house in such a way that there's not a lot of room at the cash register, but there's plenty of room at the kiosks.
And when you walk up and stand at that cash register that's up front,
oh, yeah,
they look at you like you just pooped on the floor, man. What are you want?
Use the kiosk, weirdo.
And again, we talked about this the other day. I'm a firm believer in this. All right, fine. I'll start doing all the work, but you better have a rewards card. And just like I'm expected to put a 15% tip on the subway worker when I use my card, I want my rewards card to give me the tip. If I'm making the order, if I'm at the grocery store checking out the groceries, they should tip me.
You're driven a Maserati before?
I have not.
Oh, man. Italian luxury cars. Pretty cool. I see a couple of them driving around in the hood in Zionsville.
A lot of those in Beach Grove.
Are you sure? Come on. They you could get them for $20,000, $30,000. I mean, they're unusual. I don't want to say they're rare, but, they're an Italian luxury car. So a guy bought his wife a Maserati from Carvana for her birthday. You know what that is?
That's like that big, it almost looks like a kiosk of cars, right? Is that what I'm thinking of?
That's Carvana. Yeah. Carvana, whatever you call it. So
Steinstein.
Yeah, they deliver the car to you. You buy it online, they just deliver it to you. So they delivered it for her birthday. Then they found out it was stolen. Here is Jason. That would suck. You think
they bought a hot rod?
Yeah, from Hey-o! Here they are finding out how the $68,000 vehicle was legally bought ended up being stolen.
Was excited to have it coming down the hill. Got out the car, everything was fine. That's when they found out that the vehicle was stolen.
Oh.
And when they checked the VIN number on the chassis, that's when they saw that it was a stolen vehicle. She said, "Well, we can't trade the vehicle back in until you bring the vehicle back." I said, "I can't bring the vehicle back." I said, "The police have the vehicle." I know they said they have 150 point inspections. I want them to have 151. Check to see if the vehicle is stolen. The last thing I want anybody to do is get caught late night on some strange road in the back country and they can't verify it and they look at that person as a criminal.
Yeah, it kind of feels like that's a pretty big part of the verification process.
I would think, is the car hot or not? By the way, that guy's suing Carvana for $1 million.
$1 million bucks?
I'm not sure what that's about.
Okay. Some lawyer probably got a hold of him immediately.
Yeah.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The Hammer and Nigel Show. My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer is right over there with two very lovely special guests on the drivehubler.com hotline.
There's Mock, there's Daisy. They are the chicks on the right. ChicksOnTheRight.com.
Hello.
Ladies, we got a lot of stuff to get to, so let's start with Arrest Watch. Mock, we'll start with you. The grand jury back in action today. Donald Trump, a little bit over a week ago, said that he was going to be arrested. Well, that timeline has kind of gone and passed. Even if Donald Trump gets indicted, let's just say the stars align and Fat Alvin gets his wish and Donald Trump is indicted, Mock, what happens to his presidential hopes?
Absolutely nothing changes except that more people will rally around him, at least in the short term. And, you know, we talked about this on our own podcast, I think last week, the fact that Donald Trump, there's nothing stopping him from running for president, even if he is convicted and sitting in prison while he does it.
Isn't that wild, though?
Yes.
Isn't that crazy to say that, the GOP frontrunner is in prison right now, but once he gets out, that's when the Republicans can really take back the White House?
Listen, if the Tiger King can run from prison, Donald Trump can run from prison. That's right.
Hey, is there any part of the Democratic Party that you think wants Donald Trump to run for president because they think he will lose to Joe Biden?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. All of them. Absolutely. I'm sure that if they're not hoping for that, they should be hoping for that. Yeah.
So the other name that's involved in this whole situation indirectly is Ron DeSantis. Now, Ron hasn't done anything wrong, but as the other alpha male in the Republican Party, his name gets brought up a lot. So, ladies, where are we at with Ron DeSantis right now? Because all these poll numbers come out, and again, poll numbers don't mean crap right now, but they say that because of what's happening in New York, Donald Trump is gaining popularity. So if you're Ron DeSantis and Amy Jo will come to you, what do you do here? Do you wait it out? Do you make any statements? What's the play?
Well, I actually saw a poll today. I honestly don't know which poll it was because I hate polls personally. But I saw another poll today. I was going to send it to Mock because Mock likes DeSantis, and I was going to make her smile and be all gleeful. But but it was a poll that said that DeSantis was gaining ground, like by a couple points. And I don't know if it has anything to do with all this stuff, but I just feel like polls go up and down, right? So I don't know. I feel like the back and forth, the infighting already, it makes a lot of people are finding that to be distasteful from Trump. But then again, that's just how Trump operates, right? I mean, he's already like slinging mud at DeSantis when DeSantis hasn't even said that he's going to run yet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it'd be really hilarious if DeSantis was like, yeah, I'm not going to run. I'm just not going to run at all.
Well, Mock, all right, so I'll go to Mock here because she's Ron DeSantis super fan. How do you think he's doing right now? I mean, he's running some sort of shadow campaign.
It's a book tour, Nigel. It's a book tour.
I think there might be some sort of issue with him running for president while still being the governor of Florida. They got to get that worked out. How do you think? Yeah. I mean, he was on Piers Morgan. I really didn't understand the Piers Morgan interview or why he chose that platform. But how do you think he's doing right now and with this quote unquote shadow campaign?
Well, I mean, if that's what it is, I don't know that I can score him on it necessarily. I did actually see the polls that Daisy was just referring to, and the problem with them, although it is great, so he apparently is beating Trump in early polling in Iowa when they're head-to-head. The problem is that they're not going to be head-to-head. So he is tied with everyone else that's running when you put all the other potential candidates in the mix, and that's the problem, right? So the more people get in, the more solidly Trump will have the GOP nomination. If it were only him and DeSantis, I do think DeSantis could beat him. I really do.
Do we put too much stock into Iowa? Because it feels like when you look at the results of Iowa over the last, five, six election years, the winner of Iowa isn't always the nominee. Do we get, too excited about polling in Iowa?
Probably. Yeah, we probably do that. Yeah. I think we just get too excited at this point in the game, period. I mean, like, we've been, just the pulse that we get from a lot of our listeners in general, just like right now, this early on, I think that people are getting so excited about what's happening right. I mean, like, there are probably 5 or 6 or 10 more people that haven't thrown their hat in the ring, unfortunately, because it's getting crowded, the pool of candidates. I mean, like, the crap storm has just begun, y'all. Like, we are in for a huge bumpy ride. Like, it is just started. And so I think a lot of people are throwing speculation out there as to like what's going to happen. And Mock is right. I mean, but DeSantis is up against, he's up against a lot more people than just Trump. Trump is up against a lot more people than just DeSantis. Chris Christie's thinking about getting in. I mean, there's so many people that we have yet to talk about that they're going to throw their hat into the ring.
Mock is here. Daisy is here. They are the chicks on the right. Ladies, you have a massive social media following. It's kind of how your empire functions here. So I'm curious as to your thoughts on what you're seeing with TikTok and the hearings that took place in Washington last week. Mock, we'll come to you first.
Well, the hearing was interesting in that the CEO of TikTok apparently did not particularly do well with the committee. So they were expecting him to sort of regain or somehow gain their trust about the safety of the platform. And it doesn't sound like he won anyone over, regardless of whether they were Democrats or Republicans. But there are a few Democrats who are trying very, very hard to pin this on Republicans as them being, you know, having a lack of swag and being like the ban happy side of the aisle, even though this is bipartisan. So I do think that the committee is going to go forward with attempting to ban TikTok. The question is, will Joe Biden sign off on that, knowing that it might put him at odds with the younger voters that he desperately needs to hang on to? I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I feel like the Democrats and, you know, like the AOCs of the world who went on TikTok over the weekend to say, it just doesn't feel right banning TikTok. leave it up to AOC. I mean, so they know how to reach their younger base with this type of social media. Meanwhile, you know, I'm not so much concerned with. I feel like when you sign up with any of these services, there's a lot of data aggregation and data harvesting, and you give up a certain amount of privacy. It's just TikTok is kind of a sewer sometimes. It's addicting. It's frying our kids' brains on some level.
I think all of them do that. I'm not defending TikTok. I think TikTok is probably the worst of it. Plus, it is run by the CCP. I think we all kind of know that.
It's Chinese mind control, for sure.
Right. And but the Democrats are, you know, they're using this. They're going to use this as an election, as a campaign tool, because they know that they reach a lot of 18 to 22-year-olds. They've done this forever. I mean, Mock and I talk about this when Obama was running. The Democrats are genius. They're very, very good at reaching that demo, the 18 to 22-year-olds. And they know that TikTok is a good tool to do that. And so they're going to be like, oh my gosh, 18 to 22 year olds, those stodgy Republicans are trying to take your TikTok away. And they know that they can do that in this election cycle. They can do it.
So Daisy, in its current form here, being ran, operated, owned by the Chinese Communist Party, should TikTok be banned in the United States?
I don't like it. I get a little bejiggity though about the banning thing. I mean, I personally I don't let my kids use it. I don't use it myself. I take it as I don't really use it, and I don't let my kid ever touch it because I don't want my kid anywhere near it. And so I get a little bit weirded out when I see parents who are like, oh, my kid, you know, is addicted to it, or my kid does this, or my kid does. It's like, well, then don't let your kid freaking use it. You know, I get a little, you know what I mean? I feel like parents can take responsibility and adults can take with children, and they can keep their kids from using it. However, I will say that kids can still get access to TikTok videos on YouTube and other platforms, because it all sort of, they all are very incestuous with one another. On, you know, they all sort of intermingle on different platforms. So do I think it should be banned from government and from corporations? Is it? Yeah. I mean, they're taking your information and they're using it for themselves, and they're farming that info. So yeah, I mean, I don't think it's good for the United States. I mean, they're definitely using it for stuff.
And it's so funny, Mock, how China only lets their citizens use TikTok for like 45 minutes a day, and they all pump the smart stuff into, you know, science, technology.
It's their space program success.
Right, exactly. Right. And we're watching fart videos over here.
Yeah. I mean, the algorithm is totally different for China than it is for us. So why is that? Yeah.
Hey, we're talking about
it's absolutely by design, of course. Yeah. And so, but I do think there, you know, I have heard about another option, because I'm like, geez, I get a little bit ugged out when the government wants to ban things. I understand the need in this case, but if there is a second option, and I think there is, which is to only allow it if ByteDance divests itself from it, if there is no more influence from the CCP, then I think that that's another another potential option, which would allow the platform to exist, and it just wouldn't fall under the Chinese government. Now, if that can happen, I don't know. So they may be forced to just go ahead with the ban.
Your thoughts on the report from Reuters that says Joe Biden is frustrated with Kamala Harris because, now I'm paraphrasing, she's an idiot. Now, imagine...
You were paraphrasing there.
Imagine Joe Biden thinking somebody is an idiot. Daisy, we'll start with you.
Well, I mean, this is what happens when you hire somebody based entirely on DEI, right? I mean, when it's like this is all identity politics and you hire somebody based on that exclusively, you get what you get and you shouldn't throw a fit.
Mock.
Yeah, hey, Mock.
I was going to say that the best acronym for what Daisy just said is FAFO. I mean, you F around and you find out. This is right?
You know, the other thing, I mean, there's a flip side of that coin. I mean, you have to think of the trajectory of Kamala Harris's career. Top cop in California, one of the most, then, you know, becoming one of the most 100 powerful people as a senator in California. And now, you know, she accused her opponent, Joe Biden, in the Democratic primary of racism. You know, she's saying she believed his accuser. And now she sold out and is working for the guy. I don't really think she has an interest in trying too hard at anything. She is incompetent, but she's like, wait, I think she's kind of bitter. She called this guy a racist, and now she's working for him.
Yeah. She just wants to be, like, studying space and school buses. That's all she cares about.
Who's the dumb one in that relationship? No, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Who is the dumb one in that relationship? Who is it?
Oh, my God. How can you pick? How can you, like, who? I don't even know. It's like, I have no idea how you pick who's dumber. I don't know.
Hey, one more thing before we let you guys go, Chicks on the Right, here on the Hammer and Nigel show. Let's circle back around to Trump and what we were saying in the previous segment about the Democrats want Trump to run because they think that Joe Biden can beat Donald Trump. You know who else wants Trump to run? The media. CNN. Their ratings are cratering. Four more years of Trump, and that's their only hope. Would you agree?
Ooh, yeah. And they're still obsessed with them. I mean, these people still have TDS, like massive TDS. Like, you look at the Morning Joes and people like that, and they just said, I thought for sure after he got out of office that it would subside. Like, they all would sort of recover from that TDS syndrome, you know, the Trump derangement syndrome, and they didn't. They never recovered. It's really sad, but they salivate over that guy, and they want it back. It's like they yearn for it. As much as they hate him, they want that back so they can hate on him some more.
Mock, Daisy, the Chicks on the Right, follow them on social media, click on their articles, click their brains out, chicksontheright.com. Ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.